But let's talk to Robert Mays, NFL on the Ringer, joining us today. An action-packed week through three, both on the field, off the field, and during the anthems. Mm. Robert Mays joins us right now. How are you doing today, man?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing really well. Now, let's just sort of talk about this first before we move on to all the on-field stuff. Do you think the NFL is as unified as it has been the last few years, considering everything that's happened with Trump and the protests?
I mean, I think the league probably is. I mean, I'm not sure it was ever not unified. Like, locker rooms in the NFL are some of the most diverse places you can imagine. I mean, you have guys from every walk of life, guys from different races, different religions, different backgrounds, everywhere in the nation. And these are places that you have an incredible swath of people. So I think that for the most part, when you consider that, they were never a non-unified place. I think that what you've seen with some of the statements from ownership, with some of the actions from ownership, things like that, they're trying to put forth a certain message about unity in the league. I'm not sure what place that has in regard to what these protests were originally about, but it seems unified now, but I'm not sure that it was ever anything contrary to that.
Right. Now, on the field, Tom Brady has been fantastic, and we're not really surprised by that. He did have one bad game, but the last two have been really good. But the two next quarterbacks who are sort of the top three guys so far are guys I did not expect to be this good this early, Jared Goff and Alex Smith. Can those guys keep it up, though, Robert Mays?
I mean, Jared Goff, we've only seen him start, I believe, 10 games in his career, and his first seven were an absolute disaster. I think that what you've seen with that staff in Los Angeles with Sean McVay, with Greg Olsen, the quarterback's coach, with Matt LaFleur, the offensive coordinator, they've turned him into a completely different player. I mean, we saw a guy that was drafted number one overall. They traded a king's ransom to get him, and it was awful. I mean, it was about as bad as you can look as a quarterback. And I feel like what we've seen with the Rams and what we've learned is just how important a staff can be to a young player's development and success. And it is a scheme-driven league, and there are some coaches that are able to put their guys in positions to be successful. And we saw that. I mean, that was their number one priority when McVay took over. Can we save Jared Goff? Can we bring him back from what he was as a rookie? And they have. I mean, Jared Goff was a talented guy. That's why he was the number one pick in the draft. The challenge was to simplify things for him, to make him comfortable, to get him confident. And they've done that. They've given him easy throws. There's been a lot of play action. It's really incredible to see a staff paid to coach football in the NFL do what Jeff Fisher did last year, and then see how different it's been with McVay now. In Kansas City, it's not that. You know, we have a guy that has been around for a while. We know what Alex Smith is. The changes in that offense and his improvement was always going to be incremental, and it's been that. They've shown an ability to push the ball down the field a little bit more. The creativity in that offense is incredible. You have Andy Reid, who's been a head coach in the league for almost two decades. He's been in the league for more than a quarter of a century. And his ability to implement new things into that offense, new wrinkles, to be creative and to have an open mind, that is remarkable. You just don't see that with coaches in the league. Guys that are around for a long time, even if they were innovators at one point, often lose that title. And Reed has gone the other way. I think that's what we've seen with Smith. It's another system where they've given their quarterback every single chance to succeed, and combined with Smith's willingness to be a little more aggressive, everything else, it's really unlocked the athleticism and the talent they have on that side of the ball.
Hey, Rob, there seems to be something terribly, terribly wrong with Cam Newton. I mean, three picks against the Saints, making that secondary look amazing. So let me ask you this. Is Colin Kaepernick a perfect signing for Carolina right now?
No. I mean, Cam Newton's 2 years removed from still being the MVP of the league. Cam Newton's going to be just fine. I think that what you've seen in Carolina is something contrary to some what we've seen elsewhere on the league. Just teams like Tennessee, like Kansas City, New England, yeah, even the Rams, implementing new weapons, implementing new schemes, and doing it while hitting the ground running, looking comfortable from the start. The Panthers haven't been able to do that. They lose Greg Olsen. Kelvin Benjamin's been dinged up. They have a bunch of new offensive linemen. Their center, Ryan Khalil, who is the second most important player in that offense, maybe, after Cam Newton gets hurt. It's a lot of moving parts there, and I feel like they look out of sorts. I'm not sure if Mike Shula is going to be there for much longer. You know, this was a situation where he's been the coordinator there for a very long time, pretty much since students got there. So if they don't show improvement, I think we'll see changes. I don't think those problems are rooted in Cam Newton. He hasn't been very good, but all of the moving parts around him have definitely played a role in what you've seen from Carolina offensively.
What about Colin Kaepernick himself? I think after this past weekend, you can't really pull out the excuse that he's a bit of a distraction.
No, I think that the chances of him getting signed if he wants to play are much higher now than they were a week ago. Just because, like you said, why does it matter? If every single player in the locker room is getting interviewed about why they're kneeling before the anthem, if they're going to, there's no possible way an owner or GM or anything else not only can say publicly, but even think privately, well, this just isn't worth it. I think that was a big part of the conversation about Colin Kaepernick within the league. Is this worth it? Can he be a starter? Is he better than some guys? Yes. But is the improvement and is the upgrade marginal enough that it wouldn't be worth what would come with it? I don't believe that whatsoever. But I think a lot of the guys around the league did. Now, that's a moot point. It no longer matters. The distraction that comes with whatever quote-unquote distraction that could come with players doing this, taking a stand, being outspoken about political topics and social activism and everything else, that's happening widespread. I mean, it doesn't matter now if Colin Kaepernick is on your team. These questions are going to come. Players are going to get them. Interest is going to come toward the league from people that are not associated necessarily with the sports world. Every single reason you could have given about not wanting Colin Kaepernick, other than his football acumen, no longer applies.
Yeah, no, those are really strong words, and I completely agree with everything you just said there, Robert Mays. From The Ringer, check out TheRinger.com and The Ringer podcast. The NFL show is Can't Miss, will be out Tuesday, so anytime now. Now, talking about the game last night, the Cardinals and the Cowboys in Arizona for the Monday Nighter, Dak Prescott made one hell of a play getting away from pressure and throwing that deep ball to Butler for the touchdown. How good do you think Dak Prescott is? Is he the real deal? Like, is he actually coming off that rookie year? He's not a flash in the pan, is he?
Well, I feel like it was tough to separate what Dak Prescott was from what that offense was, and I still think that's difficult. When they're forced to throw the ball in non-advantageous situations, it's not as if they're this dominant group. You know, they aren't a modicum of efficiency when they aren't in good situations after running the football. So I still think, for the most part, Dak Prescott is a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback that cannot necessarily transcend his surroundings right now, and that's the problem. He needs a decently cushy environment to succeed, and to succeed to the degree that he did last year. I still think he'd be fine in any offense. But you see now, when that offense isn't rolling, when they're not running the ball consistently the way they were a year ago, that it doesn't necessarily look the same. And I feel like that was always the question for Prescott this year. Could he take that next step forward if they were to miss out on Zeke, if the line were to take a step back? And I think for the most part, you've seen a guy that looks similar to the one he did a year ago. He's able to make some incredible throws. He's a very good quarterback, but he isn't somebody that's just going to go out, sling the ball around the yard, and have your offense be a top-tier passing group no matter what's happening around him.
Which team has surprised you the most through 3 weeks of the season?
That's a good question. I mean, in a way, it was probably Denver through 2 weeks. I think that the way they looked for two straight games was very impressive to me. I'm not necessarily backing off of that. I think that Buffalo's defense is better than we've given it credit. I think that Sean McDermott is a very solid head coach and a really good defensive coach. Pittsburgh has been a little bit disappointing to me, and that's beyond the results on Sunday. And I watched that game from start to finish being in Chicago, and they just have not looked like the offense I thought they would. I'm very surprised that this group just hasn't been able to come out and push people around, because when you consider the talent they have on that side of the ball, the offensive line that they've returned, it just feels like they should have hit the ground running. These are guys that have been in that system for 6 years now, and there's no reason that they should be stopping and starting like this. And then you kind of dig into some of the specifics. Le'Veon Bell comes back on September 1st. That's not a very long time, and there's a chance that that holdout has been affecting his comfort within the offense, everything else. I mean, these things are so small. I mean, it's like a piece of sand in a microchip when it comes to an NFL offense. It doesn't take much to throw it off course. That may be it. They lose Marcus Gilbert, their right tackle, before the game on Sunday. They lose Ramon Foster, one of their guards, during the game. I mean, these things all could be the reasons that they haven't been the group we expected. But even with those tiny little shortcomings, I still thought that that group would be able to blow teams away from the start.
Is there something to be said about teams like the Steelers and the Seahawks that are veteran-laden? They've been there before, have consistency, but they get off to these slow starts, and because we've seen it before, and then they get better. Is that sort of a trend with teams like the Steelers and the Seahawks?
I'm not sure if it's a trend. I just think that for the most part, with the lack of practice time, with the short season even, these four games are kind of a feeling out process for every team. And that's what most head coaches, most good ones, consider at this time in the league. You're trying to figure out who you are, what teams are good, what teams aren't, what your identity is on either side of the ball. And you're going to see teams that we expected to be good, that have been established, that have been around for a while, struggle at the beginning. It's not surprising. Seattle does it every year. I still believe Pittsburgh and Seattle will be around at the end. I just did not expect them to get off to this sort of start.
You're listening to The Playbook with Sat and John, talking with Robert Mays from The Ringer. And Rob, before we let you go, I want to tee up Thursday Night Football. It's the Bears, it's the Packers. And look, the Bears beat the Steelers, one of the teams that you mentioned, kind of disappointing, a little bit slow out of the gate. Are they about to do the same against Green Bay?
I don't think so. As a Bears fan and as someone that, you know, watches the team very closely, it still feels like going on the road and beating Rodgers and Lambeau is going to be a tall order. The Bears were never going to be an embarrassing team coming into the season. They have too much talent defensively. Their coaching on both sides of the ball is very good. I think the Dowell Loggins and Vic Fangio are both solid coaches. Fangio's beyond that. He's a very good defensive coordinator. Bears front seven is a solid group. They brought in a ton of NFL caliber corners, even if none of them are stars. That defense was going to be pretty good. And now it's a matter of whether the offense can even almost keep pace. They cannot throw the ball more than 5 yards down the field, and it's awful. So that limitation is really going to hurt them moving forward. I think that the Mike Glennon era is of no interest to me, really. So going in and having to play against Rodgers, I think that even with them being a solid team, it is going to be a tough one.
So what about Trubisky? Is he going to get a chance to be the starter, or is he going to have to wait a bit longer?
I think he's going to have to wait a bit longer. I think they have no interest in putting him. They know what they are. They know what their ceiling is. They want to bring him along slowly. I don't want that to happen solely because I have no interest in watching Mike Glennon week in and week out. But I do feel like as a franchise, they want to hold it back a little bit.
Awesome. We just had a great conversation. Robert Mays from The Ringer, TheRinger.com, and check out The Ringer podcast. What is coming up on The Ringer NFL-wise this week?
We got some good stuff. Danny Kelly is writing about the Vikings pass catchers who are extremely underrated. I'm going to be doing something about some of the more creative offenses we've seen so far. And the Ringer NFL show comes out today. And Kevin Clark and I discussed pretty much everything that happened this weekend, all the NFL activism going on, where is it going to go from here, whether the Titans are for real, just kind of the stories you hopefully want to hear after an incredible weekend of football.
Absolutely. I'll be listening. Great stuff as always. We look forward to talking to you again here on The Playbook.
Appreciate it, guys.